Madam Wu, open up. Madam Wu.
It's $1 an hour.
I need your help.
This isn't poor house. No girl, no room.
I have a message from Jia Li. Here. Thank you.
Jia Li, beautiful. A real peach flower. My clients loved her. Poor thing. I'll do you a deal. $5 for the night.
I've no money, but I'm a doctor, a good one. I can examine the girls.
You're a no doctor, just a beggar in Western clothing.
My name is Dr. C.K. Lin. I graduated from the University of Pennsylvania in America.
Ayo, those imperialist young goids. Why does a big shot doctor need help from a whore mistress?
I'm wanted by the French police.
You ain't a thief, are you?
No. I'm wanted for murder.
Boy! Boy! Put him in room 4 before the client see. Quick, quick! Bring a pipe and some tea.
No, no pipe.
It's not for you. Here, drink this. I will not have a murder under my roof.
I didn't do it. I have proof.
What's that?
In the right hands, these pills could take down an empire.
Ayo, you're delirious.
You don't need to believe me. But Jia Li, she wouldn't write that note if I was guilty.
Boy, where's that pipe? That girl always was trouble. All right, I'll help you, but you leave first thing.
Thank you, Madam Wu.
It's quiet tonight. As payment, tell me your story from the beginning.
Deal. Tomorrow's the Dragon Boat Festival after all. And one way or another, all debts must be paid.
I was born Lin Chen Kung, and in America I became Dr. C.K. Lin. After 6 years abroad, I returned to Shanghai on January 28, 1933, the 22nd year of the Republic. From the deck of the SS President Hoover, the city looked rich and prosperous. The foreign banks on the Bund appeared swollen with silver. Wharfs had mushroomed along the river's north shore, and sampans jostled to unload their cargo. But deeper into the current lurked hulking Japanese and American warships, a symptom of the city's critical condition. My first evening back, Uncle invited me out to dinner at the Guaifei Parlor. He still looked lean and wiry. His eyes retained a mischievous glint. Imagine a ferret in a long blue gown and a fedora hat.
Here. Have some more wine.
I'd prefer a Jack and Coke.
What? In the Guifei Parlor? This is one of the finest restaurants in Shanghai. Honestly, I prefer the Bu Luo restaurants, but if my creditors saw me eating sliced pork and cabbage, they'll have a fit.
Creditors, Uncle?
Teething problems. The new stores. Nothing I can't handle. Menu, some more wine. I have something for you.
My medical license.
I called in some favors. The picture is a bit old, but it will do. And the keys for your new practice on Avenue Roy Albert. It's a nice place, not far from the Kennedy Room.
Roy Albert?
If you have to treat to each Taipans, You need a suitable address. Also, I've spoken to a friend at the Shengbao newspaper. He's agreed to feature you. It'll be great publicity.
No, don't. Please. Let's keep my arrival a secret, yeah?
Nonsense. They plastered Bernard Shaw's visit everywhere. They can do the same with you.
Uncle, stop. It's very generous, but I want my return kept secret. I have my reasons.
You're always the shy one. I remember you crying at the races. Bawling your eyes out, you were.
That's not fair. You left me to place a bet. You were gone for 2 hours.
Oh, it wasn't that long. Don't exaggerate. When you're living the high life, visiting Taipan's wives in their grand mansions, you won't forget your old uncle. Leave me to rot.
How could I? Your family. Besides, I'll pickle you first.
I'm glad to hear it. A toast to my nephew, Dr. C.K. Lin, the best kept secret in Shanghai. Ganbei!
Ganbei. Hello?
Chen Kun, it's your old friend Yang. Welcome back to Shanghai.
Yang, brother, good to hear from you. I haven't seen you since...
That boat trip on Lake Tahu in 26? The best banquet I ever had.
For the food or drink?
The women, of course.
It was my third day in Shanghai, and I was moving into my visiting rooms when Yang called. He's short, from Shantung, so people joke he's half Japanese. It didn't help that he'd studied in Tokyo, where he'd drunk, womanized, and scraped through his medical exams in that order.
Listen, Chen Kun.
I'm CK these days.
Those young YG really got to you, didn't they? Very well, CK. I've got a business proposition for you. I'll explain more when I see you. Do you know the Casanova?
I've never heard of it.
It's a taxi dance place on Edward 7th. I've got us a table. Thursday at 8.
Fine. I'll see you there.
So, Missy, what do you think of CK here?
He's very tall and handsome, and he smells so good I could eat him.
You say that to all the guests.
But this time it's true. Have you been to Hollywood?
Sure. I even saw Mae West. And believe me, she's not a patch on you.
Oh, and the charmer too. I bet you prefer the foreign girls with their big eyes, big feet, and big...
Wallet! Ganbei!
Ganbei!
Young, tell me, how'd you find me? Through uncle?
Oh, that old quack. I've got no business with him.
Hey, watch it.
Lin's uncle runs a chain of drugstores. The type that sells fish eyes from Pringles.
If you can cheat, then cheat.
Enough.
Okay, relax. I'm sorry. It's just gossip. You know what Shanghai is like. Have another Jack and Coke. And here, have a cigarette.
On the phone, you mentioned a business proposition.
That's right. I knew you'd be interested. It's with none other than the China-France drug company.
The makers of Yellow Brain Tonic? That stuff is straight up snake oil.
It's not. My nanai swears by it and she's 86.
Sure, Missy, but the boss, Mr. Xu, has bigger ideas. He wants to take on the foreign firms like Bayer and Hoshi Pharma by producing Western medicine. He's even hired scientists from France to copy over-the-counter drugs.
Why are they interested in me?
Homegrown Chinese who graduated in America? What's not to like? I'll introduce you. It's best if they explain.
I don't know, brother. It doesn't sound right.
Doctor, I've got a much better offer. Buy a dance or two and we can discuss terms.
Sorry, CK. I'm first. Come on, Missy. You gotta be quick in Shanghai, brother.
The next day, I remember I woke up angry. Angry at Yang. Not for dancing with Missy or for insulting Uncle. No, it was because what he said rang true. I knew there was something wrong with Uncle's affairs, and I had to find out what. I took the Hong list and looked up Lin Brothers drugstores, chemicals, patent medicines, and more. The operator told me 3 of the 7 branches were disconnected. After my last patient, I headed to the closest one on Rue de Marche. What I discovered left me no choice. I had to confront Uncle. Uncle, we need to talk.
Ah, nephew, come, sit. While Mama's bringing tea. I'm glad you're here. This morning I received a telegram from a friend on the front. He's confident government forces will beat the communists by summer. Bonds are sure to go up. If we act quickly, we'll make a fortune.
I've been to the store on Rue de Marche. What were you thinking? The street's full of brothels. I was even propositioned.
So that's why you look flushed.
Uncle! The girl said debt collectors had been asking questions.
Thank you, Wang Mama. You can leave the tray on the desk.
Well, how bad is it?
The war? What do you expect? Awful.
I mean, the business.
Those Japanese scum. How was I to know they bombed the city?
The night I arrived, you mentioned creditors. How much do you owe?
$50,000.
How much?
America may have been in a recession, but Shanghai was booming. The banks gave up money like it was New Year.
And you overextended.
Business was good until the imperial powers screwed us. Again.
Don't blame them.
Who else is to blame but the price of silver doubling? Costs have gone through the roof. And what about the bombing? 600,000 people lost their homes, their jobs, everything. Oh, that was our fault, I suppose.
Of course not. But $50,000? That must be 3, maybe 4 times what the stores are worth.
I should have opened a brothel, or better yet, sold coffins.
When are the debts due?
The Dragon Boat Festival.
3 months.
Exactly. A lifetime in Shanghai.
Three weeks later, I sat in the back of a large, black 1931 model Citroen and reread the invitation. My driver will collect you at 10:45 a.m. on Friday, 10th March. Madame Cadal, Avenue Pétain. After learning Uncle was in trouble, I doubled down on growing my practice. I saw patients from first thing in the morning until late at night. It was exhausting. Despite the long hours, we hardly made a dent in the $50,000. I needed to up my visiting fee, which called for a higher class of patient. Madame Cadal promised just that. She had power, influence, and most importantly, guanxi.
Dr. C.K. Lin, here to see Madame Cadal.
This way, master.
The number one boy answered the door. He was a teenager, thin and spidery, with a strange hypertrophic scar on his left cheek.
Please wait here. Mistress will be down soon.
The number one boy left me in the ballroom. It was the size of a lecture theater. A Steinway stood in the corner, and large French windows led onto an immaculate, wide-open lawn. Several fruit trees were in bloom, their petals drifting like snowflakes at the end of a storm.
Shanghai's famous peach blossoms. Lovely this time of year, don't you think?
She wore a black silk kimono wrapped tightly around her waist and a shawl over her shoulders. She was tall and thin, with high cheekbones and cat-like eyes. Growing up in the city, I've never seen them before.
They are fine specimens, descendants from trees in the dew fragrance garden. Let's take a closer look.
Madame, thank you for your note. How can I be of service?
Doctor, I suffer from insomnia. I lie awake all night and it drives me crazy. Thankfully, my previous doctor, before he left me and returned to France, prescribed these. Véronal has made a world of difference. I'm a new person, and I can sleep through the night. Unfortunately, as you can see, I am running out.
Madame, Véronal is a powerful drug. My advice is to calm your nerves. Take a trip. Hangzhou and Westlake, perhaps?
Impossible. My schedule won't allow it. On Wednesday alone, we have drinks at the Citroën offices, followed by dinner with the Consul General.
Madame, medication shuts out the noise. It doesn't change the record playing in your head.
Doctor, come. Let's sit on this bench. Closer. I won't bite. That's better. Soon after I arrived in Shanghai, my husband was called back to Paris. I'd never left France before and I didn't know a soul. I went to every social engagement in the city. Balls at the Sassoon Mansion, lawn parties at the embassies. Now, my life is full. I am addicted. I can't leave Shanghai.
That is all the more reason to...
What if I helped you? It must be hard returning to Shanghai, rebuilding your network. Your Zhuanxi.
A lot has changed in 6 years.
I'd be happy to make some introductions. Put the word out.
I'd greatly appreciate that.
But I'd have to stay in Shanghai, of course. One cannot arrange these things from a boat on the West Lake.
Behind Madame, at the edge of the garden, a coolie crawled on hands and knees tending to a flower bed. A foreigner appeared in a dark blue tailored suit with slick back hair and holding a walking stick. I assumed it was Monsieur Cadal. I confess, I needed Madame as a patient. But Véronal? You must understand, at that moment, I truly believed she would learn to trust me and eventually take my advice. Very well. Here's a prescription for the next 2 weeks. Then you must promise to get away.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. I feel better already. You'll hear from me again very soon. I promise.
As I walked back to the house, the blue-suited man was shouting at the coolie. He raised his walking stick and hit the worker hard on the head. I flinched and instinctively touched the back of my neck. Madame, true to her word, introduced me to a host of characters across the concession. French petty officials, Portuguese businessmen visiting from Macau, American lawyers bored of the international settlement, and a Russian who'd climbed the ladder from refugee to nightclub proprietor. They paid me handsomely to stave off the worst effects of the Shanghai climate. With my new patients came more invitations. Tickets to the Shanghai Symphony Orchestra, the races, the theater. It felt like the streets were made from gold, and all I had to do was find a bigger shovel. Uncle, we need to modernize. Look at this place. It hasn't changed since the fall of the empire. Here, I've written up a list of Western medicines we used in the States.
Aspirin I've heard of, but the rest of them? Aciflavin, the... Thiazon, ointments, and Zymosin.
After the medicine, we'll move on to baby formula, perfumes, and cosmetics.
What about my clients?
You can't tell me they want this. Dr. Williams' pink pills for pale people. Rubbish. And this, ginseng and tufuling root.
That's very effective for poisonous plum sauce.
It has to go. And this. And this. In fact, it all has to go. It's 1933. How can we start medicines from our long-dead ancestors?
And who's going to buy all this expensive Yang Guiji medicine? Not your patients.
Not from a place like this.
But their servants might. What if the houseboys were encouraged to pick up prescriptions from our stores? All you need is slip them a couple of coins. Just think of the extra fees from the prescriptions.
I'm not bribing the houseboys.
They receive a squeeze for everything else. Food, clothes, newspapers. Why not medicine?
If my patients found out, I'd be ruined.
Stop being so precious, nephew. Remember, a man who cannot tolerate small ills can never accomplish great things.
Saving your neck is no great thing.
To me, there's nothing greater.
You'll have to ask for an extension. The Mid-Autumn Festival, or better yet, the New Year.
Impossible. We're not dealing with some small-timer.
You've never told me. Who was stupid enough to lend you so much money?
Forget it.
Who, uncle?
The only man with deep enough pockets.
You're not serious.
You were in America and I've run out of friends.
Heaven! But he's not a man. He's a gangster. If you can't pay him, he...
Enough. Let's go home. Mama Wang is making chicken feather cabbage.
Uncle, what will happen?
He'll take the stores, the house, everything. But that only covers a third. He won't lose face. So, likely as not, I'll be drowned in the Suzhou Creek.
Your uncle's a fool to get messed up with those thugs.
What do you know about Pok Mok Wang?
More than I'd like to. Prostitution, gambling, where do you think this opium comes from?
What about the White Terror in 27? The American paper said Huang's mob, the Qingbang, murdered 4,000 communists. Was it true?
It wasn't just the communist. The Qingbang used it to settle old scores. It was slaughter.
Uncle was right.
About what?
For only 5 cents, the houseboys were happy to walk a couple of extra blocks to one of Uncle's stores.
Servants will betray their masters for squeeze. Most masters deserve it.
But it wasn't enough. Despite bribing all my patients' houseboys, we'd still be short by the Dragon Boat Festival. Only then did I remember Yang's proposal in the Casanova. I called him later that week, and I was invited out to dinner with China France.
Some fancy Cantonese banquet, I bet. Sauté pigeon with sea cucumber and bird nest broth.
I couldn't tell you where we went or what we ate. I only remember meeting Miss Chang Susu. She worked in the advertising department of China France and had an oval face and pure porcelain skin.
Is it true they throw out the tea leaves and only drink the water?
And they drink it with milk. They put dairy on everything. Getting into the elevator is like walking into a cowshed.
Is that why you came back?
No. I heard in Shanghai the streets are made with gold.
But America's the Golden Mountain.
I've always preferred the city to the countryside.
Dr. Lin, Miss Chang, what are you two whispering about? Have another drink. You remind me of a joke I overheard. A doctor's youngest son was a good-for-nothing student. He was forced to sit the civil...
Mr. Chen was Susu's boss. He was short with glasses and a very flat head. I could see his white scalp through his short, spiky black hair.
The student prayed at the local temple for an explanation.
Mr. Chen, forgive me, but what does China France want with a humble doctor like me?
Dr. Lin, do you know why the Yang Guaiji call China the sick man of Asia? It's not just because of our corrupt and inept government. When an American is ill, he sees a qualified physician. A Chinese man, on the other hand, visits the local temple, an apothecary, a geomancer, a divinator, a Taoist monk, even a talismanic shaman. Now, imagine a future where all tradition is washed away, where every town has its own pharmacy, one filled with Western medication for every imaginable disease. Typhus, malaria, even syphilis, you diagnose it and there's a pill for it.
That's a wonderful dream. But where do I fit in?
Unfortunately, the Chinese people don't know what's good for them. They still believe in all that nonsense. We need you to persuade them otherwise.
I'm no traveling salesman.
No. We wouldn't dream of it. You are a valuable commodity. Last year, only 1,000 students left China to study in America, and only a handful studied medicine. We want you here in Shanghai writing articles and endorsements on the power of Western medicine, occasionally mentioning China, France, of course. They will be sent to our partners in Anhui, Jiangxi, Hubei, and the rest. Miss Chang will see to it.
I'll be promoting Western medicine only? None of that other stuff?
Yellow is practically a separate business.
What's it worth?
How about $5,000 for the first 3 months?
I'm taking a risk, Mr. Chen. If it gets out that I'm working for China France, it could be bad for my reputation. $9,000.
China France is a respectable company, one of the biggest drug companies in China. But I appreciate your concern. $7,500?
A deal. As long as my work won't be circulated here in Shanghai.
Agreed. Then I propose a toast to China France and pills for all the ills. Ganbei!
Ganbei!
Good. Now that business is out of the way, I'm ready for the fruit. Where's the damn buzzer? Meinu? Meinu?
You should have haggled harder, Doctor.
Please, call me CK. I'll bear that in mind when we discuss expenses.
You'd better take my card, CK. My office address is on the front and my home telephone number's on the back.
You'll take $200 in chips.
Brother, that's too much.
Come on, my luck's in. I cured a son, a firstborn, from Impetigo.
$100, please.
That's a start.
It was the end of a long Friday in April. I'd seen patients until 7, then written editorials for China France until 10. I was falling asleep at my desk when Yang called and insisted we go to the great world. People call it the number one entertainment venue in the Far East. In reality, it's a palace of sin.
You know, this place used to be owned by China France. Watch out!
What's a drug company want with a place like this?
This, dear CK, is a capitalist paradise. 20,000 people pay to enter each day. They gamble, drink, eat, you name it. Not only that, where better to advertise? They drop leaflets from the roof, fly promotional kites over the buildings, even have posters for Yellow Brand in the Hall of Distorted Mirrors. Here's my lucky table. Welcome to Baccarat, CK.
What are the rules?
You'll pick it up in no time. Just remember, 8 is lucky in China, and even luckier in Baccarat.
This game's the devil.
Your luck will change. Where's that waitress?
Uncle will be furious.
Screw your uncle. You're a big shot now. If I were you, I'd drop him.
You're right. Those damn stores of his, they're only holding me back. Meinu, another brandy for brother here, and a Jack and Coke for me.
Night time in dear old Shanghai, and I'm dancing, sweetheart, with you.
Brother, what are you doing on the pavement? Let me help you. Come on.
Oh, I'm all dirty.
But it was worth it. Tell me again, how much?
$1,000! Can you believe it?
Welcome to Baccarat, brother! Welcome to Baccarat!
Doctor, I'm finally taking your advice and leaving Shanghai next week.
I am glad. You'll feel better after a week or two.
I have much to do, but I need you to meet some friends of mine.
My patient list is very full, but for you, I'm sure I could
we
find some...
We are off to see one of them now. But be warned, she is not sympathique like me. You are expected to give her what she wants and leave.
I can't rush an examination.
Oh, stop pretending. We both know the deal. She just needs a prescription.
I do not write them on demand.
Arrête. Don't push it, doctor.
Madame, I apologize. There's been a misunderstanding. Driver, please stop the car.
Fang, carry on. You don't seem to understand, you sniveling little chien. One phone call from my husband and you'll be struck off the medical register.
Why do this? I never asked to be your doctor.
I engaged you because you were cheap. For a couple of introductions to nobodies, I'd have a pet physician who couldn't escape to Europe like the foreign doctors can.
So, this was all part of the plan?
Stop dramatizing. It's a simple business arrangement. Ah, look what you've done. I've got a headache.
Do I have a choice?
Leave the concessions. Move to the Chinese Quarter and jab needles into syphilitic whores.
Looking back, I realize this is my last chance to avert the oncoming crisis. Whether it was the pressure of Uncle's debts or my own weakness, I cannot say. But with the faintest of nods, I consented.
Fang, stop the car. The doctor is getting out. You've upset me. I'll call for you soon. Before you go, give me something for my head.
Here.
What are these?
Read the label. It's aspirin.
Good. Now get out.
It's a disgrace. A rickshaw driver has been found guilty, asked to apologize and to pay costs to a Britisher for stepping inside a white-only club and demanding payment. And this one. A French driver was let off scot-free after colliding with the Chinese man who almost died. You like this one. Butterfly Wu, a society beauty, now lives comfortably on $400,000 worth of property given to her by her dead foreign playboy. Well done, Butterfly Wu.
Uncle, please stop. I'm trying to think.
This young Guizhi, all the food and drink they want, a servant, a cook, even a slave to wipe their arse. Listen to this. A foreign woman was found dead in Avenue Pétain.
Uncle, enough.
Get up.
What do you mean?
You have to leave, right away.
Stop pushing me. What's the matter with you?
The woman. It was Madame Cadol.
Give me that. Madame Cadol was found dead in her house yesterday evening by a maid. The results of a full autopsy are expected later today. French police have confirmed a suspected drug overdose.
You have to get out of the concession until this blows over.
Why did she do it? She was about to leave Shanghai.
That doesn't matter. Come on!
How could I give sleeping pills to a suicidal patient?
That will be the police. Go out the back door, head to the old town. Once you're safe, call me.
I have to tell them what I know.
Weren't you listening?
You're being paranoid. I admit, I made a mistake, but I didn't kill her.
Nephew, you don't understand these people. Monsieur Cadot won't accept a verdict of suicide. He'll do everything to save face, including falsely accusing you of murder.
Stop calling black white. Even Monsieur can't change the facts.
Lin Chengkun, listen to me. When you were young, your parents and I, we protected you. But you must understand. In Shanghai, no one cares about truth or justice. They only want vengeance.
Thank you.
You have been listening to episode 1 of The Hustler's Republic. The Hustler's Republic was written by Louis Powell. It was produced and directed by Louis Powell and Hugh Ross Eyre, with sound design and music by Jack Baxter. It starred Chick Chan as Lin, Kwong Look as Uncle, Law Stockley as Madam Cuddle, Kiana Law Masterson as Susu, Madam Wu and Missy, and Chris Chan as Yang and Chen. Special thanks to Man Yang Hu for cultural and historical consultancy. Thank you for listening. Hi, my name is Kiana. I hope you enjoyed listening to The Hustler's Republic as much as we did recording it. We'd love to tell the rest of Lin's story, but to do so, we're going to need your help. So if you want to know if Uncle escapes the claws of the Qingbang, or how Madam Cuddle met her tragic end, then please rate and review this episode. And if you have suggestions for locations, characters, or sources from 1930s Shanghai, then please let us know using hashtag Hustler's Republic.